Welcome back in. Final hour of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning. And as we do every Monday morning at 9 o'clock, we are joined by our friend Darren McFarland, host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Also handles the Nashville Predators pre- and post-game duties for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. Darren, what's going on? How are we doing?
Good morning, gents. I'm very mad at Joe Rex Road. I missed your second segment last hour because I had to clean coffee off the wall after he said, if you're mad longer than 4 hours, please call your doctor.
Yes.
So I spent the entire second segment scrubbing down a wall full of coffee that I spit out. So thank you, Joe, for that.
Sorry, buddy.
But I love the line, obviously.
Rex Road.
By the way, we had a classic ED call on You Just Made the List on Friday. I mean, people were howling. This guy was like, I didn't even think about this until I started listening to this station and your show. It's like, now I have a complex. Now I think I have ED. I mean, it was fantastic. I mean, the response from people, I had people over the weekend tell me about that call. It was awesome.
Oh, just beautiful stuff.
Wow. I need to go back and listen to that.
On that note, well, Darren.
Because I didn't even know it was a thing until I started listening to the station and your show.
Good grief. By the way, we are in the Hillside Medical Game Studio, just for your reference, here on this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee.
I told Michelle I had to start pregame at Patron Platinum Club Saturday night, packed. Everybody eating and enjoying themselves, and everybody glued to the television as the ball was being hiked.
Yeah.
The ball was being snapped as I took to the airwaves. The ball was going through the uprights as I was starting pregame, and then you could hear a pin drop in Patron Platinum Club.
Well, let's start there then, because you have obviously been around for the ups and downs of this franchise ever since they've come to this city, and there have been some very disappointing losses in the playoffs before. Where does this one rank in your mind, the loss to the Bengals?
I think it's two. It's not greater than 2000 in my mind, because 2000 to me is exactly what Predators fans and what this market experienced, what we all experienced the year after the run to the Stanley Cup final, right? It's like, run it back. Oh, by the way, you come back. You have the best record in hockey. Everybody's expecting you to get back to that place to try to right the wrong from the previous year where you lost in six and you lost in game seven to the Winnipeg Jets in the second round, right? And I get it. It wasn't the conference championship round, but that was the same feeling, because the Titans made the run to the Super Bowl when nobody was predicting it to happen, right? Just like the Predators. And then they came back and they were the best team in the league. And they were the number one seed. And we all know how it played out. And that team was really good, by the way. That 2000 team was really, really good. And statistically, it's why I always kind of scoff at times, at the stats and the analytics and the geeks. Because it doesn't always – like, the Titans dominated that game. And yet they lost. And so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the stat sheets say. That's not how it works. Baltimore won the game. So for me, it's still number two. I think the thing that's difficult for me is because I have seen all the ebbs and flows, Robbie and Joe, of this fan base. And, you know, it's been down for a good while. And they lost a lot of fans. And I feel like for the first time, and I've said this many times, and I'm sure I've said it on here on Mondays, and I know I've said it on Darren, Donick, and Chase. The fan base was back, and it was back at a fever pitch. It was back as close as you could possibly get to the beginning days. And I think it's always going to be tough to top that, say that fast, really, really fast three times, because it was new, right? You also had the newness and the freshness of being an NFL market, and so you can never recreate that. But they came pretty darn close. Like, this market was all in on this team. They believed this team could get to Los Angeles. They believed this team was going to host an AFC championship game for the first time. And so, You know, to me, it's the clear-cut two. It's not far behind 2000, but to me, 2000 will always be number one because I think everybody thought they were going to get back and rerun it and do the same thing like the Predators, get back there and win it this time.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And look, I think that anybody who watched last night's game between the Bills and Chiefs, I mean, if you're being realistic about it, like, you know, to beat either – before it was finished, you know, you had to know, like, to beat either of those quarterbacks at this stage of the season, the way they're playing, would have been a big chore. But then again, what would this place have been like? What would that stadium have been like? What would this town have been like this year? And with that defense, I mean, I think it was possible because they were incredible, Darren, and obviously the offense completely failed here. So – how do you come away from that thinking about two people in particular? Because they're the two people we've talked about the most. We've talked more about Ryan Tannehill, but we've talked about Todd Downing as well. Do you have a different view of either or both after this game?
Well, I will say this. My view of Todd Downing, if you feel like, and I'm talking to everybody out there listening, if anybody feels like they need to upgrade at OC, you better come up with a different approach, because if you call into these shows or you tell Mike Vrabel he needs to get rid of Todd Downing, that's the wrong approach. Because as we've seen, Mike Vrabel, what he does is then he goes and rents a backhoe and then he digs in deeper. That's what he does. Like, you're not going to tell him what to do. So what everybody should do, if you're in the camp that they can upgrade at OC, because, I mean, look, there was a lot – left to be desired. I mean, if I'm just being totally honest, if you're asking my opinion, I'm not here to call for somebody's head. I'm here to say, I think this season as a whole, and especially Saturday, was C-minus territory, in my opinion. It wasn't a great year offensively, and the only thing that's changed was the offensive coordinator. I mean, yeah, there was a couple, you know, Julio Jones would get all that, but you better take a different approach. In fact, you probably should call into these shows and say they should sign him to a 10-year extension. Maybe reverse psychology. Because if you call in for his head, Mike Vrabel's just going to do what he does best, and that is dig in deep and I'll show you and stick his chest out and tell everybody he's smarter than everybody else, and it'll never happen. But here's where I look at Todd Downing, and I say this is the third offensive coordinator Mike Vrabel's had. Well, where are the other two? Let's see. Well, Matt LaFleur is the head coach of the Green Bay Packers, albeit they did lose as well. They were the number one seed in the NFC.
Thanks.
All he's done is win. Sorry, Robbie. They've won 13 games all 3 years as him being the head coach in the regular season. Well, who's the other one? Oh, yeah, Arthur Smith. He's the head coach of the Atlanta Falcons. And so I know this is not the gauge. I'm just simply pointing this out. Is Todd Downing going to be on anybody's radar to be the next head coach anytime soon? Is anyone talking about Todd Downing as a head coach in the league? Do you think that's even close? I mean, I'm not even talking about judging him by this game. Was anybody going to, even if the Titans made the run?
He actually, real quick, Darren, he actually was starting to show up on some of these lists, but I think that probably that
Does that mean, Joe? I mean, I've seen Jacksonville. I've seen about three teams I feel like interview people that are dead. I mean, it's like, when are you guys going to close? Like, you've interviewed like 40 people. I mean, you're doing your due diligence, I guess, but it's like, my goodness, are you literally interviewing everybody out there that could possibly be your next head coach? I mean, it's been pretty extensive, and I haven't seen has Todd Downing done an interview?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so.
No. So, I mean, how serious is it? My point is, I don't think he's in line. He's not in line to follow Matt LaFleur and Arthur Smith anytime soon. But like I said, I don't know how I know how people feel. I know people probably are not happy and would encourage a change. But if that's how you feel, you might want to take a different approach, because if you tell Mike Vrabel to fire him, he's just going to stick his chest out or maybe rip his shirt off and tell you why Todd Downing is the guy.
What about the Tannehill part of this?
I mean, what what more is there to say other than what we saw? I mean, the first play of the game. I mean, I guess I have questions. Like, let's examine the throws. Does anybody else? The first thing I did yesterday was get up and watch the game. And I took three pages of notes, and it was a tough watch. I mean, I didn't try to do the silliness of I'm gonna DVR it, and, you know, and don't tell me what happens. Like, stop it, shut up. I mean, those days are gone. Like, it's impossible for you not to know the outcome. Like, you just have to accept it and realize you're gonna sit down and watch it, knowing what happens, you know, that night or the next day. I actually was gonna plan on watching it that night when I got home from the Preds game, and I was just like, yeah, no, I'm not. I'll just wait till in the morning. Did it look like Bates knew exactly what was going to happen? I mean, was he not seeing that play better than the Titans were? It looked like he was absent, because we actually talked about this on Friday, what should be the first play of the game. And we agreed play action wouldn't be a bad call. Like, that should probably be the first play of the game because everybody expects it to go to Derrick Henry. Well, I feel like Cincinnati knew that play action was going to be the first play too. Didn't it look like Bates was sitting on that the whole time?
When your quarterback's staring the same guy down the whole time, that'll happen.
I mean, and then your first pass of the game is a pick, your first pass in the second half is a pick, and you run down their throat on a drive, and your next play on first and goal is a pass to Chester Rogers? A screen or whatever you want to call it? I mean, what? I don't know. A lot of this stuff, to me, I can't explain away. I don't understand the two-point conversion. I don't know how you guys feel about fourth and one. I mean, Mike Vrabel said after the game they were just trying to get to the 35. Well, last time I checked, weren't they at the 35 before and they decided to go for it? So they decided to go for it then, but Randy Bullock was good from 51, 52 in the second go-around. I mean, I don't know. That Derrick Henry went left a lot. I don't know if you guys watched. I mean, I literally sat down and rewound. I mean, I would go back. And Derrick Henry went to the left a lot. You don't think Cincinnati didn't figure that out, that he was going to his left? He wasn't planting with his right foot. I mean, the few times he did go right, he got blown up. Go back and look at the plays. He was going left the whole game. You don't think the Bengals defense didn't figure that out, that he was going left? Because they knew his surgically repaired foot was his right foot, right? So he doesn't want to plant. I get it. But Foreman had, you know, four carries, 66 yards. If you're going to go for it, don't you put Foreman in that spot? I don't know. I mean, I know a lot of this is Monday second guessing, but I did sit there perplexed a lot of the time watching the game yesterday morning.
Darren McFarland from Darren Donica Chase has been our guest here on Monday morning on Robbie and Rexro. Joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Darren, it should be a spicy show today on DDC. Looking forward to that one.
Oh, I can promise you that.
Oh, yeah.
Four strong hours, man.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question about that. We appreciate you, my friend.
All right, guys. Have a good rest of your show. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. Darren McFarland joins us every Monday morning at 9 o'clock. Here on the program. We'll come back. We'll react to what Darren had to say there. Welcome more of your thoughts on the Titans on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How surprising you get 9 sacks and that not be good enough to win a game?
Because you guys, last year you talked about all the sacks we didn't have, and you guys somehow think that sacks lead to victories. They're great. We'll talk about how many we had this year, but I like turnovers and interceptions and caused fumbles. So maybe we'll talk. Maybe we had too many sacks this year.
That was Mike Vrabel after the game on Saturday talking about the sacks that the Titans have, or maybe talking about how we spend too much time talking about sacks there. That was good. Good stuff from Vrabel.
Beauclair was sitting right next to me after that. We had to laugh. And, you know, it's one of those things where, look, there's a lot of emotion.
Sure.
So, you know, Mike Vrabel, after big losses and big wins, is when you especially expect some spiciness toward his favorite people, the media. I mean, God, guy questioned our life choices in there. I felt bad. Like, we should walk out of there, Michelle, and, like,
you think about
something
else
in their lives, you know? Yeah. Like, dude, I mean, I want to play
teaching a breakdancing class, maybe?
I'd love to play in the NFL, you know?
Yeah.
was almost there. So
Joe,
close.
NBA is you. Yeah. You can dunk.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, exactly. 1993, I dunked.
They didn't want any part of me in this.
It's only 29 years ago.
They didn't want any part of me at wide receiver in this wing tee offense, I can tell you. So much so they never threw me the ball.
I was a good blocking receiver.
Yeah, man, me too.
Rob, you and Aaron Rodgers have a great connection.
A little bit of Westbrook and Keen in my game.
Yeah. I'm upset with him right now. But, yeah.
So, good stuff. Be interesting today. Mike Vrabel, 11 a.m. press conference today. Very interesting it will be.
It will, yeah.
One way or the other.
I don't think there's any question about that. Sean texting in says, Tannehill does not play well in cold weather, ever. This is coming from Sean on the text line. You buy that. Tannehill's not a cold weather quarterback.
Well,
which, by the way,
the stats say that, but most of those games have been against great New England teams.
Yeah.
But, yeah, some Jets games in there too, I guess.
I mean, it was cold Saturday. It wasn't like you were playing at Lambeau Field or anything.
No,
out there.
It was sunny. I mean, the sun went down, you know, quickly after the game started, but it wasn't brutal. The wind wasn't bad. So, but, yeah, technically that's been one of the things with Tannehill over the years.
Got a text that says, can we just fire up the Peyton Manning for offensive coordinator talk already with a crying, laughing emoji face?
Ooh,
so we can go from Peyton Manning being the Vols coach to now Titans offensive coordinator.
Can he be?
What do you think?
Yeah, that's I like that. Can he be Titans OC and deputy AD of Tennessee at the same time?
What do you think about the idea of moving on from Todd Downing? You know, I don't know whether or not the Titans are going to do that. I think it's something that needs to be discussed in terms of, I think if you're the Titans, you've got to sit down, and as Corey Curtis put it earlier, how close do you think you are when you strip everything away and you do an honest assessment of your football team? I think there's still a lot to like. You were the number one seed in the AFC this year. The defense was totally transformed. You had a tough year with injuries offensively. I don't think there's any question about it. Like, when you strip everything away, how close do you think you are to being a legitimate Super Bowl contender, and how much do you think your offensive coordinator may have hindered that this year? Like, to me, that's also like part of this is tough to answer because everybody was hurt the whole year. Like, I don't know. Like, how do you get an accurate read on exactly what Todd Downing is? And the reason I say that is because I think ultimately that's what they're going to say is, yeah, I had a lot of injuries, so Todd's coming back.
Yeah, but they have to – obviously they have to dig deeper on that.
They do.
And you know, I mean, they will. But I did not think – said this before, I'm sticking with it. I didn't think through the course of this year that he was bad. I thought he had some weeks that were better than others. And it's just – it was just hard. It was hard with him and I think with Tannehill to – come away with you know, with like clean observations because the lineup was just such a mess. So I didn't think that he was bad. I thought that he was bad Saturday. And again, you start first pick, and this is where, like, to me it's Tannehill 1, Downing 2. Tannehill 1 because you don't have to stare down your receiver. You don't have to throw that pass. You can go elsewhere. You can throw it away, whatever. You don't give the other team the ball. But the play was weird because it was like, you know, like I looked at it from the all 22 perspective, and I mean, there just was no one on the other side of the field driving downfield to make Bates, who was the, you know, the post safety in a cover three, to make him think of anything else. So there was an example of a play that just was weird and didn't help Tannehill. Still, you don't throw that pass. And look, quarterbacks make $40 million in this league anymore, and coaches, OCs, you know, make – there's some seven-figure OCs. But the reason is because quarterbacks have a much larger impact on the results of a game than any coach can, okay? And that's just how it is. So you can't – to me, I think Downing is a discussion, and I think it's fair to look at the whole thing and say, gosh – how much of this season and how Ryan Tannehill played was because he misses Arthur Smith. He and Arthur Smith had a good thing, and it just didn't work out the same way with Todd Downing. I mean, I think it's absolutely fair to look at that and think that way. I still think that this was about Tannehill more than anyone. And I don't know with Downing. Is someone like a Tim Kelly? Is that someone who could come in? It's a, you know, someone Vrabel knows well, but it's about Tannehill, too. I think it's about Tannehill because we haven't even really gotten into the idea of moving on from Tannehill, which there's that fantasy out there. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, and the biggest thing I keep coming back to Tannehill with is just I don't know how we've gotten to the point with him where the decision-making has gotten as bad as it is on a consistent basis because – You know, I feel like the last couple of years, I mean, Derrick Henry's running wild left and right. And certainly there, I mean, look, he had some play action throws that you're the wide open receiver because there's a lot of people going for Derrick Henry. He also made some tight window throws and made good decisions with the ball. Like, very rarely, I feel like, over the previous two seasons, did we look and say, oof, Tannehill's decision making, not great today. We were having that conversation all year long this year into some of the decisions that he was making. And look, he threw a lot of interceptions this year. He could have thrown six or seven more this year with some of the interceptions or with some of the decisions that he made. So, to me, there's just a really stark difference in the decisions that he made this year. And I don't know that you can explain all of that away with just, well, he didn't have Arthur Smith. Like, at some point, it's as simple as, hey, there's a guy right there. Don't throw it. And that happened way too often this year.
I agree. No, I agree. And again, I'm ordering it that way. I do think that what you just laid out could be viewed as, okay, so how much credit does Arthur Smith get for his cleanliness the last 2 years as a decision maker?
Yeah.
How much is play design and just working together? You know, you like this, you like that, you're comfortable here, not this. How much does that have to do with it? Because I think you can look at the whole thing and say they had a lot more situations where he was able to make mistakes. You still can't make them. But there was a lot of talk in Tannehill's 2 years, or I guess 1.5 seasons, as quarterback with Arthur Smith about how they collaborated on things and how Arthur Smith did what I just said, you know, found things that he liked, found what his strengths were, played to those. Did that same thing happen this year with Todd Downing? I mean, you know, go to any press conference. Oh, yeah, everything great. Yeah, great, great, great. You know?
Sure.
But I don't know. I think it has to be part of the discussion. And, again, that's just the biggest thing here is that that's just a much easier thing to do. If you feel like you got to step back from your OC and that this is not a Super Bowl-winning OC, it's much easier to make a move there than it is, obviously, to deal with the Tannehill situation and the massive investment that you are committed to for next year.
When the Preds have a weekday game this season, it's your chance to participate in Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. If you guess a Preds player that scores a goal in the game that night, you win a pair of tickets to a future Preds home game. Your next chance to participate is tomorrow morning at 8:45. We'll continue the discussion on Ryan Tannehill and the Titans coming up next. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Oh, that guy's unbelievable. He said, so he was talking to Brandon as he was going out to kick. He gave a little warm-up swing, and he said, oh, it looks like we're going to the AFC Championship right before he went out there to kick it.
That was Joe Burrow after the game the other day talking about Evan McPherson, the kicker. Apparently a lot of confidence from the kicking game from Cincinnati. They don't need no Randy Bullock.
Speaking of which, so Paul Kaharski sitting next to me in the press box. He was out for the game, and he saw a Bengals fan, a woman, an older woman, had a jersey on. I'm trying to remember the exact wording. It was like, never fat Randy, or it was something like that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Disrespect.
A Bengals fan, a Bengals jersey, ripping on Randy Bullock, calling him fat Randy.
Ugh.
And he's like, this picture will, you know, will make Twitter if he misses a field goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Randy didn't get his revenge.
Randy didn't deserve that, man.
No, that's a little rough. Like if your intent as you go to this playoff game is to throw shade at your former kicker, but he did fail them a few times, and it does turn out. I tell you what, fifth round pick to get that kid. I mean, he made some big time kicks in that game. Kind of important sometimes to invest draft capital in a kicker.
Maybe not in the second round like the Bucks did a few years back, but hey, maybe at some point.
This is true.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jerry from White Bluff, Tennessee. Jerry, what's going on?
Hey, nothing much. Thank y'all for that, for taking my call. Appreciate it.
Of course.
Yeah, what I want to call about is we got so many Titans crybabies out there that's just all of a sudden hating the Titans. Oh, why didn't they do this? Why didn't they do that? Well, we had 28-plus other teams and fans that were sitting back watching those playoff games. I appreciate what the Titans have done this year, and I appreciate where we went. I thank God we got a team in Nashville that is as good as they are. We had Derrick Henry that come back after 9 weeks of not playing. He scored one touchdown. But if it wasn't for a couple of freak plays, we would have beat Cincinnati. But I just want to put in a positive note about the Titans. I don't want to sit and run them down. Oh, we should have done this, or we should have done it. I want to put in a positive note that they absolutely made Nashville on the map. They did through the season. I'm going to hang up and listen to your comments, and I got nothing negative to say about the Titans. You know, tighten up. Next year, we'll be back, and that's it. I just wanted to put that out there.
Thanks for the call, Jerry. We appreciate it.
Jerry, let me just say it to you, my friend. We do not have time for positivity and perspective today on this show. I'm just kidding. That was a
I like
call.
Jerry.
That might have been a little sunshiny.
Look, I appreciate the call. I like his positive spin. I will say that Jerry's take will not be the prevailing thought today for most Titans fans, would be my guess.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's kind of
judge.
I was trying to do with the Rex pat on the butt or whatever that was earlier.
The cheeks.
cheeks. But, no, it's good to keep things in mind. I mean, Vrabel, after the game, was like, hey, 31 teams going to be pissed off at the end, which is true. But, man, this city
I think you
could have
lived with
it
a little
be.
Bit better if you were like Team 31 that gets pissed off rather than going out in the
right
divisional round
I mean,
of the playoffs.
Yeah, this city should be hosting the AFC Championship game this week. This should be a massive week in the history of sports in Nashville, and it is not.
No, and it just kind of feels like they've messed it up. Now, you know, to Jerry's point, there's still a chance this team comes back next year and it's a pretty darn good team. And
they'll
that they're
good.
Back in, you know, a situation where they're competing for the division again and the situation where they're back in the playoffs. It just, with the quarterback situation being what it is, it feels like the conversation on Tannehill has totally shifted. And for some people, you're right. Some people, it's not shifted all that much. They've been pretty consistent on the, yeah, I don't think Tannehill can get it done. But I think even the most passionate Tannehill defenders after Saturday have to think at least a little bit differently now.
Well,
I don't know how you could.
Well, I mean, listen, I'm open for a Jerry-like call on Tannehill or text. I mean,
We haven't had any of those so far today.
I have not had any. Here's another really interesting thing, which I can't tell if this is real or not, and I actually asked this in the – I think my column of this game has like 300 comments on it. A few of them were people saying, never should have gotten rid of Marcus.
Oh, God.
And I'm like, wait a minute. Are you serious? Are you trolling? Come on. So if anybody feels like that out there, let us know. Maybe you can do a Twitter poll.
Well, I mean, look, he might be out there for you this offseason. Just bring him back. Get him back in there.
Actually, it wouldn't be a bad backup.
Disrespect to Logan Woodside. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Jack, who wants to weigh in. Jack, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey, Jack.
I'm just telling you what it says.
Oh, okay. Well, my name's Mark.
Hey, Mark. Sorry.
Anyway, that's what I was saying. Who the hell's Jack? Anyway.
Mark.
After yesterday's math lesson by whoever did the show yesterday, there's no getting rid of Tannehill. We're stuck with this guy for two more years. So we need to get serious about it. That's it. He is what we have, unless they draft a somebody from out of heaven. Doesn't matter. There are 8 and 9 people in the box the entire game. Okay, Downing could not generate but 16 points, even with the people that he had around him. He's not the guy. And if Vrabel doesn't get rid of him, then Vrabel's the problem. I was told by people that were there, and that one person that's in the coaching industry, he said there were people running wide open like inmates on a jailbreak. when it's described like that, there are people open everywhere. So it's Tannehill's the problem, and Downing's the problem. If they can't pick, if they have to work with both of those two guys, then Vrabel's the problem. It's pretty damn simple, guys.
Hey, thanks for the call, Mark. We appreciate it. Mark, not Jack. It was good stuff. That was awesome.
But Jack's cool too.
Yeah,
Mark Jack.
Sorry, Mark. That was totally my fault. I was doing 20 things.
It's all good.
Yeah, one syllable. It ends the same.
That was a good one, Rex Rowe.
Thank you. I think that I think that that's a fair point. I think those are some fair points that Mark brought up. And I go back to what I said earlier about LaJuan after the game. And I'm looking here. I can't find the exact quote right now, but I'll paraphrase. LaJuan was just, I mean, sort of going on and on about how they were like in goal line. He's like, that's what he said. He's like they're in goal line in the middle of the field. And again, LaJuan wasn't criticizing Downing or the play calling. He was just kind of marveling at like the Cincinnati's willingness to be that aggressive. And I would agree that the Titans did not do enough to take advantage of that. But again, let's keep this in mind too. Like, you can check into plays usually.
Yeah.
Right. Tannehill has checked into many plays in his time. So there's a call that comes in from Downing. You got to recognize that the line too. It's like you got to do things like when you call that read option play, well, okay, this time they actually thought you were keeping it. You know, you got to see that and give it to Derrick Henry and get the first down. And then we're not talking about that play calling sequence at all. And we might be talking about a win today.
Well, I can tell you this from Mark's phone call there. I think if we get through this offseason and both Ryan Tannehill and Todd Downing are back next year, Titans fans are going to be irate. I mean, I still think that's probably the most likely scenario is for both those guys to be back. But if you get through this and nothing changes offensively, and you just roll back out there with Tannehill and Todd Downing, Titans fans are not going to be happy with that.
Well, I agree. Now, Dennis, our buddy Dennis on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, brought up the point. Everybody was all get rid of Bowen last year, and everybody was irate when the Titans, by the way, like put out a press release on a Friday afternoon, which is one of those things. Usually you do that when like it's news you're not excited to report. But guess what? It worked out really well. But we did also last year. A lot. Talk about with Downing. Okay. Or I'm sorry, with Bowen. Okay. So who was rushing the passer? Beasley, Clowney. Is that Bowen's fault? Who was covering receivers? Jonathan Joseph out there. You got Noah Dorey all year. Like, is that his fault? I mean, there was still a lot of like, if the personnel is this lacking, how much blame is on him? Also, if the head coach doesn't give him the full title, how much does that limit him? So there was still a lot of couching with Bowen last year. I think you're right that it would be worse this year if it goes the same way.
We'll continue the discussion on the Titans. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Final segment of the day here on Robbie and Rex Road, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Monday morning. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in David from Bellevue, who wants to weigh in. David, thanks for calling in to Robbie and Rex Road.
Hey guys, how are y'all?
We're great.
Good.
Good. I've got a comment and a question. I look at the game where, okay, there was three interceptions by Tannehill. I've played football my whole life. I played up until probably, well, I'm quite older, but I played college football. And so I know a little bit about the game. Looking at the three interceptions, I blame the first one totally on Tannehill. Misread, misthrow, that's on him 100%. The second one, I don't care who's playing quarterback, Mahomes,
Brady, anybody. That was just an awesome play by their defensive back. If you look at the film, if the pass is completed, it's probably a touchdown. The guy made an absolute, they were in the right call at the right time, and the guy made a great play. The third one, I don't know why with 30-something seconds we're even trying to move the ball. We're in the playoffs. We got a chance to host the AFC Championship, and we're trying to move the ball, and we're throwing to not even one of our top receivers at that.
Yep.
Two other things. Number one, there were several bad calls by the coaching staff. Number one, they should have kicked the extra point. At that point, at the end of the game, we would have been up 17-16, and all we would have had to do is just run the clock out. Wouldn't have had to try to get in scoring position. And the other one was the two, third and one, third and fourth and two, whatever. That was just a total fiasco. And if you watch the other games, the winning teams don't make those kind of mistakes. Don't make those kind of mistakes. Is Tannehill our quarterback going for it? I don't think there's any question, because they're not going to be able to be in a position to get rid of him unless they swiggle something out of their, you know what, to get rid of him. And I don't see how, I don't see anybody taking his contract.
Hey, thanks for the call, David. We appreciate it. So it's one of those things where I hear what he's saying on the interceptions. The second one, I don't buy into the, oh, that was just totally a great play by the defender. It was a great play. Aaron Rodgers ain't throwing that ball. Patrick Mahomes is not throwing that ball. Tom Brady's not throwing the ball. So you can tell me all you want. It was a great play by the defender. There's no reason for him to throw that ball. He's looking at him right in the face when he gets rid of the ball. You don't throw that ball.
Yeah, I mean, it's a quick snap, go. Yeah, it was a lot wrong with that, but I definitely disagree. I mean, I've watched that play several times. I mean, Chester Rogers was going nowhere anyway on that play. It was just a little screen to Rogers, and they didn't have it blocked. So there was a lot about that play that I don't like. Even though you ran all the way to get down there, I'm fine with like throwing the ball in the red zone. I'd advocate for throwing it into the end zone to an A.J. Brown or Julio Jones. But that was a great play by the – I don't know. I guess I'm a little bit different from you on Tannehill there. Like, I think a lot of quarterbacks do throw that pass. It's a snap decision. But the play was – like, everything about the way the defense played it, it was a dead play from the start. But then, of course, it turns into a disastrous play.
Yeah, and on the third one – I mean, you could make the argument, why is he throwing to Nick Westbrook-Akina there, and why is either Julio Jones or A.J. Brown not getting the ball? I mean, probably the better question on that play is, why is a streaking Anthony Firkser wide open in the middle of the field with no one around him? Why is he not getting the ball there?
Yeah.
That's, to me, the better question
and
on that play.
I think the answer is that Tannehill had made up his mind, but that's, again, it's kind of like the first pick. Like, some quarterbacks have that wherewithal to come off someone and see something, boom, make the quick decision. And we've seen Tannehill do that many times here.
Yep.
But both of those plays, that was like really just coming up small in a big moment and not seeing the play unfold before you. And last year in the playoff game, there was some of that too.
Well, Liam, to that point on the text line, says, regarding the first pick, Tannehill said, usually the safety is not in that position against the coverage against that play. I find this to be an amazing admission. Am I misreading this, or is he simply saying that he runs the play the way it's called and doesn't actually use his eyes or brain to determine what to do with the ball? It's coming from Liam on the text line.
Well, I mean, he decided to throw and let it go, obviously, before Bates. I mean, Bates wasn't standing there when he threw it, but this is, I agree, like, you have to be more aware. You have to try to move the safety, but I will say on that one, like the play, there was no one to move Bates away from that. Like the whole thing was both of those plays. I mean, again, Tannehill, especially this one, Tannehill gets the blame. I agree. But it's also like I don't totally understand the design of that one, and I think it contributed to it too.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things now, and we'll get back to the text here in just a second, but – the Tannehill part of this,
I don't know how, if you're in that building right now, especially in the front office, you watch what's happened this weekend with Stafford playing the way he played, with just the quarterback mastery that we saw last night between Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And look, it's not perfect. Aaron Rodgers sucked over the weekend. I know you can look at his stats. I think he was 20 of 29 for like 240 or whatever it was. He sucked. He was awful in that game. So it's not like this shoe-in that you get an elite quarterback, that's going to be where you end up. But I don't know how you can watch some of the other games and the way they transpired this weekend, and if you're the Titans, look around and say, yeah, we feel great about Tannehill moving forward. Like, I don't know how you can do it.
No. I mean, I'd love, you know, of course, I'd love to know what Amy Adams Strunk thinks about all of it. You know, I mean, that's,
yeah.
I mean, it hasn't, you know, they haven't been in a situation. Like last year, yeah, it was like, okay, the Bowen thing and all that. It's a lot different. And let's again, like, restate limitations. I just speak for myself. I'm not smart enough to know if, like, Todd Downing, you know, is a huge problem that needs to be removed. And I think that's probably overstating it. But, again, this isn't about, oh, you have committed fireable mistakes in your job. It's like, are you the best person? Are you someone who does your job so well, this crucial job, that it can get this team to the Super Bowl? Because the last guy, I think, was that level of OC, and that's also where you suffer by comparison.
Yeah, and I think we knew heading into the season. I mean, if you walked into this season and you expected the offensive coordinator to be as good as Arthur Smith was, to me, you're probably setting yourself up for failure there to begin with, because Arthur Smith got a head coaching job pretty quickly for a reason. He's pretty awesome. By the way, I think he did a really good job this year in Atlanta. The hope you had was that Julio Jones comes in. We've had people yelling at me all day long on the text line about not ripping Julio Jones. Like, if you walked away from the game Saturday, you think Julio Jones is the problem in that game? I don't know what to tell you.
Like, I mean, you can.
The trade sucked.
Yeah, you can talk about the trade. Yeah. But, yeah, he was good.
Yeah, he was fine in that game. Like, again, if you would have told me heading into the game, the Titans have 9 sacks, A.J. Brown has 142 yards, and Julio Jones has 6 catches for whatever he had in that game, 62 yards. Yeah, Titans probably win by about 20, 25 points. And they lost 19-16. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. And, you know, the whole thing, again, I mean, it's Tannehill, it's Downing. There are also very tough choices ahead. We're going to get into that a lot this week.
Yep.
On both sides of the ball. And trying to be better with the offensive line. Can you keep this defense together and make it even better? And is that enough with Tannehill as your quarterback?
Yeah. We're going to have a lot to discuss tomorrow here on the show. Obviously, Mike Vrabel talking today at 11 o'clock. Our own Joe Rexroad will be there. That should be a very interesting press conference today at 11 o'clock. And tomorrow, we'll get a little bit deeper into the Tannehill stuff. Is it realistic that the Titans can move on from him? We'll have that discussion coming up tomorrow on the show. Joe Rexroad, are you looking forward to the next 7 months of Ryan Tannehill talk here from Titans fans of, how can we get another quarterback? What's going to happen?
Yeah, at least we can mix some mock drafts in there, too.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we can get to, like, what quarterback can they draft at 26?
Can the Titans move up from 26 to the top 10?
To get who?
To get Matt Corral.
Can you pick it?
I don't know. Yeah.
It's a tough one. It's tough to have a great quarterback. It is very difficult.
It is, and it's a tough Monday for Titans fans. The sting of disappointment biting this team yet again after the number one seed. I thought this was going to be different, Rexroad. I thought this was the time they break through, but not to be.
I did too. I'm still a bit stunned.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. That's going to do it for us today here on the program. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. Darren Donick and Chase up next. This is ESPN 102.5 The Game.